following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning again. So we're going to continue this morning in our 10 Healthy Missional Marker series. We've been spending the past several weeks now looking at some of the things we as a church family need to be aware of as we look towards becoming a healthier and more missional church, and as we seek to be both pursuing God and pursuing God's purposes for us in this world. We began at the beginning of the year, which was 8 weeks ago now, which seems just crazy to me. Where every church should always begin with the Bible, with Scripture, with the Word of God, making it clear that we as a church family put the Bible at the center of all that we do. And we continued by looking at the ways that we need to be constantly pursuing Jesus, transforming daily as we grow in relationship with Him. We worked through the need for intentional evangelism, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We talked about, on the day of our AGM, quite appropriately, the ways that a culture of godly leadership, the ways that we need both godly leaders and godly followers, the way that supports the whole church as we do ministry together. We had a guest, Dr. Bill Gardner, come and preach about the need for a global perspective and engagement, how we must participate in what God is doing in the world here and abroad. And then last week, we were reminded of the role the Holy Spirit takes in cultivating a compelling Christian community. And the reality that when we seek God together and seek what God has for us together, there are fruits that we see in our community. Fruits like a devotion to teaching, fellowship, sharing in life together and in meals, and prayer. And that's a community that has these kinds of fruits. That community is compelling. People are drawn to that in really incredible ways. That's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. And a lot of stuff at a pretty intense pace, I feel like. And each of these Sundays are meant really as kind of an overview about each of these things and a reminder of what those things are that God calls us to do. And so kind of with that in mind, just a reminder, and you'll hear about it again during our announcement time, but our Friday nights, our adults are getting together and discussing these things. So the most recent Healthy Missional Marker will be discussed on the Friday night following, except, of course, this Friday night because it's game night. The last Friday of the month is game night. So 2 weeks from now, we'll be looking back at worship and kind of that way. So just if you want to continue to dig into these more, dig into the scripture that surrounds these markers to talk about what this looks like in your own life, what this looks like for our church as a whole, I'd invite you to come Friday nights. Because really the hope is that we as a church embrace all of these things, that we're doing already, and I think some of them we're doing well already, and some we need to work more on. But I trust that as we engage in prayer together, that we'll become more and more aware of those areas where we need to put in some more effort, some more time, some more prayer, some more discernment, and that we'll be able to follow the Holy Spirit's leading towards those areas. So where are we heading today? Today, we're going to be looking at the marker of heartfelt worship. And specifically, we'll be looking at the psalm that we read responsively earlier, Psalm 138. Reading what David, this psalmist, had to say about worship, the way that he engages God in worship, the way he lifts up all he is to God and celebrates who the Lord is. So I'll invite you to turn there now in your Bibles or Bible apps. But as you do, it seems like periodically there's these little stories, these little reminders, these little glimpses of what God is doing in the world and just how incredible this book is, how incredible God's word is, pops up. So I was meeting with a group of pastors on Thursday morning. We had a breakfast to hear about what the sort of reimagined, or not imagined, what the refocused, I guess, Gideons are doing through Canada and then in the world. And one of the things they're doing is providing Bibles to places around the world. And they showed a video of an Ethiopian pastor. And this Ethiopian pastor just had an incredible story. He talked about how in his church, there were about 150 people, and they had one Bible. They had one Bible amongst these 150 people. And they would pass it around. So, you know, so today is my day for the Bible. Tomorrow is Kristen's. Next day is Leslie's. And it just got passed through the whole congregation day after day. And they did, you know, I think a pretty nice thing. If you were sick, you took priority in that queue. So you could, I'm using queue like a good Canadian. You took priority. So you would get it if you were sick and then move on. What people were doing, because they knew that they could move up in the queue, is they would pretend to be sick or act sick so that they could get their hands on the one Bible. On the one Bible that this congregation had. And, you know, I was like, well, like, that seems silly, a little bit misguided, but the passion is certainly there. So some Canadian folks and this Ethiopian pastor went and they preached to a large group of people, like 300 or so people. And the people were mild-mannered, they were very well-behaved, for lack of a better way to put it, and they were listening to this preaching and were engaging in it and appreciating what these pastors, the Ethiopian pastor and the Canadian pastors, were saying about the Word of God, how they were opening up the Word of God to them. And then they got to the point where the Ethiopian pastor said to them, "Now, if you'll please line up or queue up, you can come and you can get a Bible, one per household. And, you know, you can take that with you." And this whole crowd of 300 people just rushed up and were, like, grabbing the Bibles out of the hands of these people. And the Ethiopian pastor, was distraught. He was probably a little embarrassed, a little frustrated that these people were acting this way. He said, "What's going on? Why are you doing this?" And the response he got was, "We'll repent later. But this is life. This is life. We know that this may be the only chance we can get our hands on a Bible, and we know that this is life, and so we're going to take that opportunity. This is the Bible that we get to read. This is the Bible that we have readily available to us all the time. And so this is life. This is life. So if you don't have a Bible and would like one either for today or to keep, raise your hand and one of our ushers would be happy to bring you the Word of God. But let me pray for us this morning. We'll open God's Word together. Heavenly Father, we are here to worship you this morning, you and you alone, O God. We praise you for your goodness, for your love, for your forgiveness, and for your provision. We lift up you, our Lord. We lift up to you our sin and our pain. And we ask that you open your word to us this morning, that we would meet you in these words today. And we pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we already read it once, but I'm going to read it for us again. These are the words of Psalm 138. "I praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your family. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. The Lord is exalted. He looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands." So this psalm, which is our text for today, sits as a part of a last little chunk of Davidic psalms, so psalms that were written by David that are in the book of Psalms. And specifically, Psalm 138 kicks off that last little section of Davidic Psalms. And Psalm 145 sort of bookends it on the other side. And both of those, Psalm 138 and Psalm 145, are psalms of thanksgiving, of praise, of adoration. And then the six that are in between those two are psalms of lament. And I bring that up because David hints at this idea of lament even here in Psalm 138. We see little glimpses of it. We read words about praising God with our whole heart, with all of our heart. David sings of the Lord who, though high above us, looks upon us and cares for us, reaches out his hand to us, and he petitions God not to abandon him. The place that this psalm takes in relation to the others and to the words that David uses here really strike me as we reflect on heartfelt worship. We don't read here a call to worship that demands excitement or puts emphasis on the music or the sermon, or, you know, it's not about worship that allows for a lack of engagement. But David expresses worship that is heartfelt, that is drawn from deep within his heart, all of his heart, and worship that is towards God, the Almighty Creator of the universe. And if you're going to take away two things from today, take away this: that worship must come from all of our heart, and that God is worthy of all of our worship in everything. What does it mean to worship God with all our heart? Maybe that means with great enthusiasm, maybe with a really loud voice and energetic dancing and lots of instruments, and we read some of those things in other psalms. Maybe it means with great depth and passion. And all of these are good things. They all lead us to good worship. But David is clearly getting at more. And we see that as we look into Psalm 139 and beyond. David is talking about worshiping the Lord in all circumstances, bringing both the good and the bad and the sinful and placing it at God's feet, acknowledging that God is in the midst of all of that, that God knows our pain, that God knows our sin, and that God knows our joy. I know that I don't always do a good job of this. I don't think that we as a church often do a great job, and I don't think the church broader in North America does a great job of engaging God in worship with our pain, in a way that forces us to repent of our sin, in a way that's honest about the ways that we may be hurting. One of my former professors spoke a few weeks ago at Midwinter, and he pointed out something that was really intriguing. So in the book of Psalms, there's 150 psalms. Roughly 40% of those, so in the neighborhood of 60, he didn't give us the exact numbers, but in the neighborhood of 60 of those psalms are songs of lament, songs of crying out to God in the midst of pain, crying out to God in asking for God to intervene, bringing sincere hurt, all of their hearts to God. And then the other 60%, 90 or so of them, are the songs of thanksgiving or praise in some manner or another. That's a lot of lamenting. It's a lot of crying out to God. It's a lot of honestly laying at the feet of God our fears and our struggles, pain and sin. But it's there because that's what is honestly being portrayed in the lives of these authors, that what God is writing through them. My professor continued telling us that in some of the research that he had done through just a couple of mainline Protestant denominational hymnals, and there's certainly far more than 150 songs in those hymnals, but the ratio changed quite a bit. It went from 40% being songs of lament to 25% being psalms and hymns that were crying out to God, that were lifting up pain and hurt to God. And then the other 75% were adoration and praise and thanksgiving. That's a pretty significant change. And then he took a look at the list of the CCLI, the music licensing organization that churches and other Christian ministries use when they sing songs. There's a report that has to get filled out by churches every year. Here are the songs that we sung and how frequently, etc., etc. And so they have a top 100 list every year of songs most frequently sung in churches in North America. Of those 100 songs, how many do you think were songs of lament, songs of crying out to God, songs of hurt? Any guesses? Did you listen in on this? Or yes, five. Five of those 100 songs were songs of lament. And that was being as generous as possible. That was including a song that has the title Good to Me, but including it because it starts off, I cry out. And so there are some of those words in there, but the overarching theme of the song is a song about how good God is. Five songs of lament in the top 100 songs sung in churches in North America. That's crazy. There's a part of our whole heart that's missing in worship. And I think at the very least, in our song choices, it's fair to say we aren't often living up to worshiping with our whole heart, with all our heart. We're lifting up the best part. We're lifting up the part that we're confident in. We're lifting up the part that feels best to us. We're declaring that God is Lord and that God should be praised. And that's right. Like there's no taking away from that. But it's also missing that really personal part. The part that makes the Psalms so beautiful. The part that makes the Psalms feel so real. The honesty. And there could be any number of reasons that we've trended away from being honest and open and authentic in our pain and suffering and sinfulness within worship. And maybe it's not about God at all. Maybe the lack of authenticity comes from a fear of appearing weak to one another, appearing less than perfect, of not having it all together, of not having a perfect, unshaken faith all the time, despite the pain and hurt and struggle in our lives. You know, maybe it's a bit of that keeping up with the Joneses. We don't want to see others see us in a negative light. And when it's said out loud, we all know that that's silly, right? But I don't think that knowing it's silly keeps us from doing it, keeps us from acting that way. I also wonder if maybe we're trying to protect God, and as ridiculous as that sounds, but protect God from the ugliness of our lives, or try to cover up the ugliness of our lives, despite worshiping a God who is all-knowing and all-powerful. I read in an article this week, and it talked about the relatively new phenomenon of Photoshop, you know, new in the last decade or two. But magazines, certainly, photographers, and now, like, just regular individuals have access to these computer programs that allow someone to alter a picture, maybe to trim off some unwanted fat, to make hair look a different color, to smooth out some lines, to add some muscles. You know what I'm talking about, right? And the article, it referenced one magazine. It didn't say it by name, which maybe was wise, I don't know, specifically. And this magazine, when they were accused of this type of photo altering, when there was kind of this backlash against them of, like, how could you do this? You're altering you're altering a photograph. It's already a piece of art. Why are you doing these things? And the editor of the magazine said the cover of the magazine was an image, not a photograph. Seems like you're kind of splitting hairs there, but that was the response that was given. So everything in this photograph that was unwanted or unflattering or undesirable was removed from the original. And people didn't really buy the answer that this editor gave. And it's no wonder. Like, it's pretty shallow to alter a photograph, a picture of a real person, to remove anything undesirable. But the point that this article made is that we do this all the time. Not just in photographs, but we do this in our lives all the time. For those of you who are on Facebook, you know that it's there all over the place. We see the beautiful and exciting and wonderful moments in people's lives, and minimally the pain and the hurt and the bad stuff going on. We see lots of vacations, lots of pictures of puppies, lots of... it actually says it there. The good stuff, right? But not the pain. And certainly not as much as the pain is actually felt. In jobs, there's always that temptation to highlight our successes, to tout our achievements, or, you know, in the interview, turn the "what are your weaknesses" question into another way to highlight your strengths. I work too hard. I care too much. I'm too efficient. There's a little bit of Photoshop going on there. And so just like we airbrush or Photoshop our lives on social media, or when we're talking about it with friends at church or with family or in the workplace, we can tend to airbrush our lives when we worship God. Stop. Stop trying to protect God from the bad in your own life. God knows it. God knows it. You're not going to hide that from God. It sounds silly when you say it out loud, trying to protect God from something. But I have no doubt that I at times do this, that I'm willing to give thanks to God for all of the things that I recognize God doing in my life, God doing in the lives of those around me. But I'm much more hesitant to lift up those things that are painful, those things that hurt, those things that are sinful. Like, maybe it's something that I shouldn't be feeling hurt for, or maybe it's something that I shouldn't think is painful. Maybe God, you know, is just sort of okay with what's going on, and I shouldn't bother him with the way that I'm actually feeling about things. That is something that I have to deal with myself. God has no interest in an airbrushed you, in a photoshopped you. God has, however, every possible interest and love for the real you. Your flaws, your struggles, your pain, the sin that you repent of and ask forgiveness for, those are all a part of your whole heart. The whole heart that we're meant to bring to God. The whole heart that we worship with. The whole heart that informs and deepens our worship. We can try as hard as we want, but we're not going to escape that. The most sophisticated Photoshop program in the world won't change the way that God sees the real us. It won't keep God from calling us to repentance or offering forgiveness for our sins through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we're really honest about it, how often are we willing to bring our whole heart, all our heart, to God in worship, in prayer, when we read the words of the Psalms, when we read the Bible as a whole? Do we skip over Lamentations because it feels a little bit too real, a little bit too honest? Are you bringing your whole self into worship? Are we as a church providing the space to bring our whole selves, our whole hearts, into worship with God? In looking at different opportunities that we might try to bring some more of this into our life as a congregation, the worship arts team has put together one way to respond. And this comes specifically in the form of prayer. Prayers for you or for your family or for our community, for our nation, for our world. And so you'll see either on your chair or the one next to you these little cards. They're perforated in the middle, so you can just fold them in half and tear them apart. So the blue is for you to keep as a reminder for you. On the white, write a prayer. You can write it on the back if you need to also. Write a prayer for you, for our community, for our country, for the world. Write an honest prayer. Write an authentic prayer. Write prayers of adoration and praise. Write prayers of pain and of hurt. Ask forgiveness for things you need forgiveness from. Use this as a way to authentically bring all your heart to God in worship through the worship of prayer. So you can take these, and there's pens over there if you don't have one. And there's little clips. There's tiny ones for those of you with little hands. They're like this. And for those of us that have fuller size fingers, we have ones that, you know, are a little more manageable. And you can pin them to the twine that's there. And something that you can do today, that you can do this week, that you can do next week and beyond. We can be sharing in prayer together. Something that as it's hung up, you can walk by and say, okay, here are some things that I can be praying for. And we can engage God together. This is as much for you and your own prayer life as it is for our prayer life as a church family. And so I urge you to be honest and be authentic in these prayers, and to live out the words that we read here in Psalms, that I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. And then own the promise that God makes, that we read just a few short verses later. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. Be emboldened by the word of God and the truth that he will answer you. This is the God who is worthy of all of our heart in everything we do, especially in worship. Holy God, you are the God above and beyond all things. With trust, hope, and humility in our hearts and minds, we gather to praise and worship you, the God who always hears and answers our prayers. God's promises are trustworthy and honorable, and so with thankful hearts and minds, we praise and worship our God who understands and guides us. Ever-loving and faithful God, you are utterly to be trusted. God's mercy and love does not discriminate between the rich and the poor, the powerful or the humble, but instead, God pours blessings and grace upon all people who respond to God's gracious and generous acts of love and compassion. Awesome God, we come in reverent wonder before you every day and night. We have been blessed by the wonders of you, whose ways are beyond our understanding, but whose mercy never fails, and whose gentle powers are shown through God's unfailing kindness to people who are weak and in need of strength, encouragement, and hope for the future. Ever-present God, your faithful love endures forever and ever. And we give thanks with all our hearts to you, listening and faithful God. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.